As we turn to God's word, let us turn to him in prayer. Our Father God, we thank you for your word, which provides light for us and shows us the way to go. We thank you that you have given it to us. It's come at great cost. The cost of those who gave up their lives and made great sacrifices so that we could have it in our own language, so that it would be printed for us to read. And it comes at a great cost to you, for your word is the sacrifice of your Son on the cross for the salvation of our souls. So, Father, may we not take for granted, may we count it a privilege, the privilege that it is to have your word and to hear from it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we enter into a part of the gospel where Jesus gives some prolonged teaching about the kingdom of God and also the truth of God and the truth of ourselves also. When we are coming to God's word and we're hearing from it, we're not just hearing the truth of God, we're also hearing the truth about ourselves as well. And these two things are connected to one another. We cannot know ourselves until we first come to know God, and we hear from his word. We must be ready to listen to him. We must listen to his voice and listen to what he says, not only about himself but about ourselves too. And here in this passage, Jesus exposes the darkness that is inside, the darkness that is inside the hearts and lives of these men, the Pharisees and the lawyers, people who were very religious outwardly. They were doing all the right things, but inwardly their hearts were far away from God. Inwardly it was very dark indeed. And we want to listen, therefore, to what Jesus says in this portion of the gospel. This portion where he speaks of the eye being the lamp of the body. That's what he says in verse number 34. Your eye is the lamp of your body. Jesus has performed a miracle. All of his teaching is coming off the back of this miracle where he cast the demon out of the man who was mute. And the people came, said, well, that's marvellous, but we want to see more. And we only believe when we see more signs. And it's in that context when Jesus is given instruction, saying this is an evil and wicked generation and that it doesn't believe, but rather just wants more signs. And then it says it will believe, rather than believing the truth that God has revealed concerning his Son and the good news. Instead of believing that, it wants more proof of it and more proof of it. And Jesus says that that's not the right attitude to have before God. We are all accountable to God. It's not the other way around. God is not accountable to us. We are accountable to him. And so we are accountable to believe and to trust in him. They said they wanted more signs. They said they needed more to believe. Jesus says, your eye is the lamp of your body. What is Jesus saying when he says that? Well, he speaks about how when the eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when the eye is bad, the whole body is full of darkness. And surely there Jesus is making reference to physical blindness and saying spiritual blindness is something similar to that, where there is a physical blindness, where the eye isn't working, where it's not functioning. The whole body is full of darkness, that there is nothing, there is no light, there is no vision, there is no picture, there is no variance in light, there is no variance in colour. There is just darkness. There is just darkness. Of course, here, as in many other places, Jesus isn't thinking specifically of those who physically can't see. But he is taking this example of physical blindness and applying it to spiritual things as well. That when the body is not full of light, when no light is received, when there is no evidence of the light within or in the life, it's because the eye isn't functioning. It's because the eye isn't right. Paul speaks in a letter to Ephesians of the eyes of the heart being enlightened. We're talking about spiritual things here, having the heart changed by God so that we begin to recognize him for who he is and for what he has done. You see, what Jesus is saying to these people is, he's saying, look, here are your problems, the problem. And here's what your problem isn't. Your problem is not that you've not had enough evidence. It's not that you've not had enough evidence. And neither is it the case that the evidence is unclear. What Jesus is saying to the people, you've had the evidence. And the evidence is good. And the evidence is clear. The problem is not a lack of evidence. The problem is not that God has not given me what I need in the way of evidence for himself. The evidence of God is everywhere that we look. The very fact that there is a world, the very fact that we have life, the very fact that God has constituted the way he has, it's all evidence of God, it's all evidence of his hand, it's everywhere we look, the beginning of life, the end of life, it's all evidence of him. The problem is not when there is a darkness within, the problem is not that you've not been given enough evidence. The problem is that your eye isn't working. The problem is that you're not seeing. But here's the thing. Jesus is speaking to people who think they see. They think they see, but they don't. And here's the thing about spiritual blindness, that spiritual blindness is something which you may be blind to. You know, I've wondered often about those who are physically blind. And wondered to myself about them and the trials they face and the difficulties they have. And I've wondered to myself this. Would a person know that they were blind
if no one told them they were blind?
Would a person know that they were blind if nobody told them they were blind? If you had never seen, if your eye was not functioning properly, and you had not seen anything out there, how would you come to know that you had a part of the body which was actually designed for you to see, unless someone told you that you had a part of the body which was designed for you to see, but it's not functioning properly? How would a person come to know that they were blind unless someone told them? And it's the same, I think, also in spiritual matters too. Because we can be blind to the fact that we are spiritually blind, not knowing that we are blind, just in the same way as the Pharisee and the lawyer was spiritually blind, yet believed that they could see. They don't seem to be aware of these spiritual truths and realities about God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And the only way they can come to know is when they are told. Now, who is going to say? Who is going to say? Who is going to tell us of our need? Well, it's God himself. God who comes and tells us with his word and tells us with his Holy Spirit, you have a need. There's something not right. There's something not working. And it needs to be made right. The eye is the lamp of your body. If the eye is not functioning, no light is processed, and there is only darkness within. And it's the same with the heart and spiritual matters. If the heart is a heart of stone, if it rejects the evidence, if it rejects the light, then nothing gets in and it's only darkness inside. What's needed is a heart of flesh, which God promises in the gospel and which he freely gives by his Holy Spirit. I will take away your heart of stone and I will give to you a heart of flesh, that you may walk in my ways, that you may live as I have taught in my word, that you may give glory to me and that you may exalt him, the Lord. So the problem is the eye isn't functioning. That's what Jesus says here. That's why the body is full of darkness. There is a light, and the light has come into the world. And the light has shone in the world. Do you see that light? The light of God in Jesus Christ. In the old creed of the church, the Nicene Creed, it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as being God of God and light of light. That he is God and he is light. Not just that Jesus is the perfect reflection of God, but that he is the light of God. that he is God and he is light. And so it speaks in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 of Christ being the radiance of the glory of God. That word there, radiance, the word which is translated radiance, it can have two different kinds of meanings. It can have an active meaning where it is a setting forth of light. And it also can have a passive meaning, which would be like a reflection of light. You know, a kind of a lesser copy of the thing, a reflection. It looks similar, but it's not exactly the same. But when it is, speaks in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 of Christ being the radiance of the glory of God, it's in that active sense that here is the light of God. This is light of light. This is God's light that he has shone into the world, not an imperfect copy, not a reflection, not something which is tainted in any way or lesser in any way, but this is God who has come and he has shone his light into the world. Now, do you see? That's the question. Are you seeing that this is the light of God shone into the world? If you're not seeing, it's because the eye is not functioning properly. It's because the heart is hardened against the Lord. And no light, therefore, is getting in. But once you receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit and a new heart is formed within you, then light begins to enter in. And that's what happens in the experience of a Christian, someone who comes to first believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust in him. Before I didn't see, but now I see. Because God has brought about a transformation in the heart, which is now receiving the light, and the truth is now evident and seen. Christ, who is the brightness of the Father's glory, John Flavel says, the very splendor of glory, the very refulgency of that Son of glory. Again, how might we see that light of God, that light of light, Christ Jesus? How might we come to know that this is the Lord, that this is God? Well, as we said, there is that revelation of the Lord in his creation. He makes his divinity known and he makes his power known in the world that he has made. Yet as we come naturally to that, because of the dimness of our own beings and our own hearts, we do not even recognize the Lord rightly in that. And that is evidenced all around. You may know it in yourself as well. The tendency that there is to ascribe this world to something which is greater, but we are unable to name or recognize who or what that is. And so those who are often most hardened against the Lord and his word and tell us of the science of the world in which we live, but then ascribe it to Mother Nature. Well, who or what is Mother Nature? We can say nothing about it. But they feel they must ascribe it to something greater. Why? Because the heart is dimmed against the truth of the Lord. And that's why to see the revelation that God gives in his world, we must also come to his word. For only there do we begin, with the help of God's Holy Spirit, to see the truth of the Lord, what he has revealed in the world about himself. Only then do we begin to see it rightly, that the skies proclaim his handiwork, that the world has been made for the glory of God. Only when we come to what God has revealed in his word do we begin to see rightly. Well, Jesus speaks of how the eye is the lamp of the body. And now, when he speaks with these men, we will see, Lord willing, how he then shows that truth to these men who are Pharisees and men who are lawyers, these men who Jesus will expose the darkness in their hearts and their need of him. Notice what happens at the table when the Pharisee asks Jesus in. They reclined at table, as the custom was. And the Pharisee was astonished to see that Jesus did not first wash before dinner. Now, there are passages in the Old Testament which speak about washing before dinner, but there's no law that they must wash before dinner. And this man is astonished at what Jesus has done. Astonished that Jesus hasn't done exactly the same thing as he has. But Jesus says to him, and in effect, what Jesus is saying to him in his response as he speaks to him, he says, you really ought not to be astonished at all. You really ought not to be astonished at all that I've not washed my hands before we've eaten. What Jesus is exposing here is the attitude which underlies what this man has said to Jesus, because the attitude that Jesus is exposing here is a man who is clean, who sees someone else that is unclean. You see, he has come to a judgment about himself. He says, I'm clean, and I'm absolutely astonished that you have not made yourself clean. But Jesus says, you really ought not to be astonished at all, because you are so unclean. But this man is blind, spiritually blind. He does not see his own uncleanness. But Jesus exposes it here in these verses. So he says to him, now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. You can see what Jesus is saying then, that, you know, how is it you can be astonished at uncleanness of not washing hands before dinner, when inside you're so full of uncleanness? Jesus is unmasking this man. He is exposing the truth. This man who takes exception to Jesus being unclean in his hands, but seemingly has no exception
to the uncleanness in his own heart. And Jesus is calling him to account, as Jesus calls us to account. If there is any disparity between what is outwardly shown and what is inward, that God the Lord made both the outside and the inside. But the Pharisee, the self-righteous one who cleans the outside of the plate, who makes everything look good on the outside, but inside it's full of darkness, spite, anger, hatred against the Lord and against others also. It's very apt, isn't it, this illustration that Jesus uses of cleaning the plate. If you were to see a plate that looked dirty, then you'd think, well, the whole plate needs cleaned. But from time to time, you also come across a plate that looks clean. Or maybe you thought it was clean and then you've been reminded that actually it's not clean after a more closer inspection. Looking at it from a distance, it doesn't look too bad. It looks fine. But with a closer inspection, you see the grime. You see the dirt, that it needs to be cleaned again, and really the whole plate needs to be cleaned again. But it's not often, is it, that when you inspect a plate at home, when you look at it, or a cup, that it is sparkling clean on the inside, but grimy and dirty on the out. But what Jesus is saying here is he's speaking about a common spiritual reality and a truth that often it's the case the outside is clean but the inside isn't. And he reminds us again that while this cover-up operation takes place, and this is what happens. And it happens as the Pharisees did to try and impress others. It doesn't impress God. And the Pharisees, they received the reward, the adulation from others because of their outward righteousness. And Jesus says that's all the reward they'll receive. But God sees both the outside and the inside. And God knows the truth. And O judge, accordingly, we're not able to cover up before God. Did he who made the outside not make the inside also? It's connected, isn't it, to what Jesus says before. Because Jesus can see what is in the inside of this man, who is outwardly so clean, but inwardly so dark. How might this change? It needs to change, Jesus is saying. How might it change? How might you change from being someone who is outwardly right, but inwardly wrong? Outwardly light, but inwardly darkness. How might that change? It must change because of the impending judgment of God, but how might it change? How must it change? When your eye is healthy, your body is full of light. that there is a need for a new eye, a new heart, the work of God's Holy Spirit within. For when the eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light, but when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. So Jesus says to him, look, you inside, you're full of all this greed and wickedness. Outwardly, you seem to be doing things right, but inwardly you've got these things wrong. How might this change? What do you need to do? He says, but give the alms in verse 41, those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. Jesus is saying, those inward things which are wrong and dark, those things which are which tell of greed and which tell of wickedness, that can change if you give them away. If you give them away. If you say, I'm not going to hold on to these things anymore. And that's really leading us, isn't it, to the cross. Because it was on the cross that our sin was taken away. That our sin was dealt with. That Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. But if we refuse to give those dark things away, then they remain ours, and we will be judged according to them. But if we give them away, Lord, take my sin away. The good Lord is willing and able and pleased to take our sin away, having already paid the price on the cross. The eye is the lamp of the body. The inside of the plate needs to be clean as well as the outside. Lastly, in this passage, Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Jesus gives a warning to his disciples, beware of the influence of these hypocrites. These people who wear masks, who communicate what they do, that so long as you are outwardly clean, then all is fine. Beware of those who say things like that, but inwardly are full of hatred and wickedness. Jesus says they will receive their reward in full. But God is concerned with what happens in secret. God is concerned with the heart, the desire of the heart, the longing of the heart, the thoughts and intentions of the heart, the cleanness of the heart. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed. The trap that the Pharisee, the self-righteous one, falls into is the belief that sin can be covered up. But Jesus again teaches us it can't be covered up. It can't be hidden. Sin cannot be hidden. It must be revealed. It must be revealed because God reveals it. He shines his light into the darkness to show the darkness and what was contained within it. And most of all, God has done this himself. Not just that God will reveal sin, but that he has clearly revealed sin to us. Where? Where has God plainly, clearly revealed sin to us? Where is the place that sin is most plainly and clearly seen? You know, we can all, I'm sure, think of times and stories where, times in history where sin has been made clear. Some of you, as I've referred to a few times recently, lived in times when the nation was under threat because of war and because of evil. The evil of the cells that were made in Europe, and hundreds of thousands of people were gassed to death. And that is a plain evidence. But there is more clear evidence yet of sin, where God has revealed sin. It's on the cross. It's on the cross. You and I have sinned, and others have sinned, but none of us have become sin. Jesus became sin on the cross. Paul said to the Galatians, "Who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was portrayed, shown as crucified." He was forsaken, for he had become sin. Now why would God show sin more clearly there than anywhere else? Why would God expose to the world the darkness of sin with his own son, that his own son became sin? Why would God do that? Why would he not show us somewhere else? Why is it the cross? Why is it there where the bloodied body of Christ was dying on the tree with these thorns in his head and nails in his palms and in his feet? Why is it that God would give the most plain, clear evidence of sin there? It is because God's will is that we would become righteous, that we would be reconciled to him, that we would be restored to him, that Christ became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And that also is the case why God exposes the sin that is inside and so readily covered up. It's not because he takes pleasure in exposing sin. It's because his desire is that you become the righteousness of God. It's because he wants you to receive his righteousness. If he does not expose our sin, then he never takes it away. And he never provides the righteousness of Christ. And we are left in darkness. God does it that we would be brought again to him in love and faith and return to him. Beware of the leaving of the Pharisees. They say one thing and do another, and teach others to do exactly that. To say one thing and do something else. But if what is inside and what is secret, if what is secret in your heart, if what is most precious to you as you are alone, when you are away or at home in the middle of the night, if you wake up and you find it difficult to get to sleep again, if what is found in you in secret is love and grace and peace and charity, then there is no need for any mask. Then there is no need for any kind of Pharisaical cover-up of portraying some kind of false image to be seen to be fitting in. When God has worked and we've allowed him to work in our hearts, that what is in the most secret of places is the love of God and the desire for him and for others, then the life and love of Christ has been given and received and welcomed by us. May the Lord grant us his grace and peace and his blessing upon us and his help that the darkness, if there is any darkness, that it would be cast out and replaced with that heart of flesh and the love of God in Jesus Christ.